Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and we're going to do something a bit different today. And it's something that I'm happy to catch up on because it's been too long. And that is, I've got good friend and creator of Legal Reality, Harmon Taylor, online again. A former bar licensed attorney. We've talked to him before, but it turns out it's been quite a while. It was May of last year since I've talked to him. And we've tried a couple times to catch up, but wasn't able to make the connection until today. And this, of course, is the first time we have had a chance to catch up since the election, and so much water under the bridge. So lots and lots to talk about. I'm looking forward to it. So let me say good afternoon, Harmon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm fine. I had to find the switch here. Great to be on the show. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. So let me just ask you this up front, since we haven't talked in a while. You know, it's been since the election, so much has changed. What's at the top of your list? Anything in particular you say, we've just got to make sure we address this today? Or should I just start into the list of questions that I told you I've got, which will probably take more than an hour anyway?
The key thought to raise about the current circumstance is Doge. Doge, doggy, a lot of different pronunciations for it. The thing that occurs with that, there's a couple of ideas to share, and I'll be brief. The main concept is I have worked my entire career to avoid what was unavoidable, which was the demise of the American government at the hands of internationalists. You could see it come in early. It's here. The thing is, they've already succeeded. They've done a masterful job of it. Now, what they have done, that's part one, and part two directly related to that is they have stamped their foreheads with their own expiration date. How do we get to that? We get to that because what they have done is give us their God. It's EGOD. Think of department, what is it, efficiency, Department of Governmental Efficiency?
Right.
What an interesting title. Put the initials in reverse order, EGOD, EGOD. That's their artificial intelligence system, and think about it. It fits perfectly. They have created God in their own image. They are God. They expect us to worship them as such. And God gives the beast a lot of authority. God gives the beast the authority to carry out God's judgment. God never gives the beast the authority to be God, because they're not. God is God, and they're not. So as they have ramped up this this level of control beyond all rationality, beyond all normal sensibilities, and are giving us, they're introducing it to the world through us, they're giving us the EGOD, their artificial intelligence system by which they have all information like God, by which they control everything like they wish they were God. Okay, by going that step, by going beyond the commissioned office and saying we are now God, and it's just like what God did with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was raised to say, yeah, I'm the God here, to make the showdown what it was. Well, we're going to have that again.
Well, let me wait a second.
So it's the 2 points.
Oh, let me just ask a quick question, because I'm with you, I think, on both counts, but I'm not sure, and I want to make sure we're clear on this up front. So Doge is essentially going out and finding all kinds of graft and corruption and chicanery and bribery and you name it. And so obviously a lot of people are saying, yeah, this needed to be uncovered, and it's good we're getting it out. But are you, in general, are you for it or against it, or just warning that this system that they're setting up, while it may have some good applications up front, is fraught with peril later on? I'm not sure. So if you could clarify that, and then we'll continue, I'd appreciate it.
Fraught with peril. Disastrous level peril. This is the confirmation that the American government that we have been raised to have a picture of in our mind and to interact with is no more.
Correct.
What,
I agree.
Here's the political labeling question. Why say peril? Here's the political labeling question. What system is it that puts the corporations in charge of governmental function?
Oh, you're talking about the federal system, as we've talked before, the public-private partnership, a.k.a. the fascist regime?
Well, there you go. It's called fascism. Some people call it corporatism. But when they're basically saying all government services will be provided by government contract, that's fascism. They're not going to call it that, but that's where, what's his name, Musk? That's where Musk is taking this whole thing. And so it's a disaster in the making. Not to worry. I don't think, I'm 98% certain Trump doesn't like what he sees. I don't know how much of what backroom influence they've got that's controlling him. I don't know whether he genuinely says, let's bring Musk in on this, or whether he was put in a back room and tied up and blindfolded and said, you're going to turn this over to Musk, aren't you? I don't know which is which. What I do know is that the efficiency stuff, yeah, they're getting all the rave reviews right now. They're turning it over to corporations. That's the goal. That's fascism. That's a disaster.
Agreed.
But not to worry. That's the one part of it. That's the peril side of it. The very exciting, we have to have both of these basically in the same breath. The very exciting part of all of it is the fact that they've stamped their own foreheads with their expiration date.
Okay, kind of elaborate if you would.
They've gone so far beyond judging those rebellious in their sins to being God that God has said, okay, your time is up. I can't tell you what that schedule is. I can give you my greatest hope that Trump is not in office for this next 4 years accidentally.
Okay.
I think he's the perfect guy to be in office at the time that this artificial intelligence-based God system, the New World Order, it just fades away. I don't know whether it just goes away on a spring breeze like dust particles or whether it goes out with a bang.
Well, okay.
But they've limited their time period because now they're saying, here's the God. We are your God. And we're going to pretend it's something else. We're going to call it artificial intelligence. You worship that. And if you don't, well, your social credit is going to hit bottom. Okay, those are my 2 points.
Well, and I mean, interestingly, the way you phrase that, and I'm in about 99% agreement, what you've described is what I would refer to as the double-edged sword. And fascinating okay. is that it impacts about 10 different areas, and we'll try to touch on all of them. And the problem is, of course, we're going to want to hit them all simultaneously, and we can't quite do that. But, for example, one of the things, probably the worst thing that I saw in the first few weeks, and this wasn't even one of the things we talked about in the few minutes we had pre-interview here today, was the $500 billion, half a trillion bucks, again, a public-private partnership that Trump put together with a couple of, Sam Altman and Larry Ellison and several other people that I would consider to be unsavory. I actually indirectly at least worked for Ellison for a while in a startup company in Longmont, because he was the big funder as founder of Oracle. And, the guy is a leftist, and he clearly does not have the same worldview that we do. But they're going to spend a whole bunch of money because we have to have an AI, and our AI's got to be a better god than China's AI. And the problem is, again, the double-edged sword, if we don't do it, China will, is the excuse. And if they don't build Skynet, we will, and our Skynet will nuke their Skynet before. We've seen this before, so there is a real tendency for people to say, okay, on the one hand, I appreciate, again, it's fraught with peril. On the other hand, they make a case that we had better do it because our God needs to be able to beat their God. And, of course, what we all know is, no, neither God is the real God, and we'll see how that plays out. So go ahead, Ed. There's a lot there.
Well, that's it in a nutshell. Those who recognize the scriptural events unfolding right in front of our eyes are hopefully more and more at peace of mind about the disaster that they see developing here. Yes, it's horrible, and yes, it's got its own expiration date. And so if someone has a protest position going on, maintain that. If someone has a compliance position going on, maintain that. Don't change anything. Keep up exactly status quo that we've got right now. Don't change anything.
Interesting.
Keep doing what we're doing.
And I think
because this is going to shake out.
Yeah, that's certainly good advice regardless. Well, let me toss out another one of the obvious double-edged swords here, and this is one that is equally concerning, as we've seen, and I'll give him this for sure, and I know people that are saying, oh, he may be a Trojan horse, and Trump is one of those characters that regardless, he is quite a manager, he's obviously an intelligent individual, businessman. When I see the stuff going on with Russia, I can't help but think it's at least fine and wonderful to have an adult in the room again, because before we had a blithering moron and people that were pulling his chains, because the only thing he could do was allow them to sign things with an auto pin. So, you know, on the one hand, you say, yeah, it's good that there's an intelligent fellow in the room again. And on the other hand, wow, look at some of the things that are going on. And it's almost like the fight fire with fire thing, whether it's executive orders or, as you point out, some of the other elements here. Any way you slice it, they're fraught with peril. Here's where I was going to head, though, and that is all of the executive branch agencies. Now, I would argue, and by the way, I know you're not a big fan of the Constitution anyway, and certainly you could argue, and you have, that it hasn't really been an issue in the United States forever, but certainly not for the last few years. But the claim, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is that all of these executive branch agencies, even if we had a Constitution, that though they should not exist, they are, in fact, under the authority of the executive power, Article 2, that's supposed to be vested in the president.
That's exactly right.
So he
it's
has
created corporately, but yeah, that's exactly the line of authority.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, well, they shouldn't exist, but given that they exist, he does have authority over them. He's executing that authority. And of course, you've got all these activist judges that are saying, oh no, we don't like the Constitution anyway. We especially don't like when somebody uses it to overturn all of our beautiful wickedness. And that's a real big element here. But, I guess you could say it this way. It's fascinating to me that the executive agencies, pick three letters, it's probably some unconstitutional agency, and he is executing authority over them and getting rid of a lot of people and a lot of them great. That's a good thing. If they end up being turned over to some AI and being run a lot more efficiently and they shouldn't exist to begin with, well, that's another one of these fraught with peril problems.
Yes.
Go where you'd like on that and let's just kick it around for a second here.
Well, the cleaning up of what, basically cleaning up the backyard has to happen. So, mucho kudos for that direction. The concept of saying, yeah, now we're going to turn this over to the programmers who programmed for the New World Order just says, okay, let's just turn everything over to the internationalists. So no, we don't. Artificial intelligence is great for commercial stuff. If this business, that business, here, you interact with our artificial intelligence, see how many of their customers they keep. Let's turn government over to the programmers. I mean, what is artificial intelligence? It's really fancy programming.
Yeah, technocracy is the other word.
This technology's been under development for, I don't know, decades.
Yeah.
They didn't call it that at the time, but the device that broke the German code machine was a computer.
Yeah.
And so we've had them. At that time, what was it, two stories, and I don't remember what all. It was a gigantic thing. And we got thousands, maybe million times more computing in the cell phones than existed in that device that broke the German code. Okay, so computers have been around for a while. Someone has to program them. Okay. But all that artificial intelligence is programming.
Well,
so who pays the programmers? The people with the money. Who then is in charge of everything when it's turned over to artificial intelligence?
Yeah, and what you're describing.
The New World Order.
The terminology that's been used, and this has been talked about for decades, people have written books about it, and I'm sure between you and me and the late Randy Yarborough and others, we've talked about aspects of technocracy and how, this was Orwell and some of the other Fabian socialists, essentially it was part of the big dream, either for or again. But it was this idea that we the engineers can run things better. We'll build ourselves an autocratic totalitarian society, and everybody will love it because it's so wonderful and it's smarter than any of us. And whereas, you know, the free market uses Adam Smith's invisible hand, we can now create an AI that's smarter still, that will allocate resources and do all that kind of stuff. So it's literally a command economy, and it's another way of saying the communists this time around will fix it. No, there's never been a communist regime that's worked before, but the new one that's based on our technocracy will, because now we have AI. Now, I'll throw this out, and then I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but my concern has always been, and I've done shows on it recently, Stephen Hawking, the famous late physicist, talked about it, that if we really do ever get a self-programming machine that's able to enhance its own programming, and we have machines now that will write code and that can, in fact, do that, and that at some point if they wake up and we get this singularity, as people like Ray Kurzweil have called it, well, now we got something that may end up being out of control. And he called it an existential threat to the existence of humankind. And that is a whole different animal, and that's something that I do think if we get there, then we've had the schnitzel, and it takes Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to intervene and nothing else will stop it. But you're right. As far as an AI is concerned that isn't quite at that level, then we have the idea of mankind can, you can be like God and you will not die, in other words. We've heard that before, too. Go ahead.
That's exactly the perspective that these people bring to it. We're going to be immortal, and we're going to be the computer, and we're going to tell you and control you through all the computer stuff. That is exactly what they have in mind to do.
Well, we get the mark of the beast directly, right? You know, obviously and immediately it follows right as the logical endpoint.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I mean, certainly that's a good caution. I don't know that, one of my places and where I've always gone of late, if you look at the communist Chinese, deep blue, deep thought. They got their latest AI and people are downloading it on their cell phones. And essentially it's already been revealed. Hey, if you put that on your cell phone, you might as well just open your front door, open your kimono and say, I got no secrets anymore. Here are my passwords. Here are my back doors. Here are all my audio conversations, because they've got it all and you agreed to it. So, I go to scripture, Deuteronomy 7, that says, don't even bring that idol into your house. Don't covet the silver or gold that's on it. No, it's an abomination to him. Don't bring it in. So, I'll do my very best to steer clear of it, although I know that ultimately, they're going to force it in one way or another.
Well, it will be brought in through all the technology that we use right now. There's no question about that.
Your microwave oven will listen. Yeah.
They're bound and determined to have their way, and it's a clinical insanity. And for that reason, we just need to be disciplined in what it is we're doing.
All right. Well, and I agree. Let's do this. Let's change gears just a bit. Again, all of these things seem to interact, and I'm sure we'll come back and we'll touch on similar aspects of them. But I know one of the things that I wanted to make sure I mentioned to you, because it's right smack in your wheelhouse, as a man who has been involved with the legal system for a lot of years and has a great understanding of how people get roped into things and into contracts that they didn't know they'd signed, or adhere in contracts, or essentially being brought under some kind of an arrangement, you know, show me the agreement. We had a legal system, probably the biggest issue that I've had with it for years is I thought it was so corrupt anyway, I wasn't even sure what value it had dealing with it. It just seemed like, to me, it was so off-the-wall evil that I wanted to stay clear. And yet, with Trump in there, and with all the lawfare, of course, they tried six ways to Sunday, as the evil Chucky Schumer pointed out, the intelligence community and the lawfare, they'll get you. We have, turns out Stacey Abrams, you know, down in the South, she got almost $2 billion that's now been revealed in the various ways of kickbacks. You've got intelligence officials that had hundreds of billions of dollars of graft and corruption to control, and USAID. I mean, I think the level of evil just plain old chicanery and treason that's been exposed there is mind-boggling to most folks. But when it's all said and done, one of the things that's been exposed is the level of lawfare. You got Jack Smith. You've got the New York prosecutors, Letitia James. A lot of those people, Trump has tried to yank their security clearances. That's one way, at least, that the executive with the power of the purse can shut some of those things down. And you got the judges, the same activist judges that were trying to shut him down and make sure he could never get to the Oval Office, are squealing like stuck pigs. Anyway, so there's a lot there. Where do you weigh in on all the lawfare stuff? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? The legal system? Where do we stand?
The best place to answer that is with a general concept about our society. And what I'm going to describe is where we've been. And what I'm going to do is give some indication that it's changed.
Okay.
Our generation and our kids' generation have been exposed to inundation with it's unfair to put one label to it, but I'm going to put one label to it just to make the point. The Timothy Leary perspective on life.
Okay.
I accept the confirmation that he's a plant by a three-letter agency, that his task was to start a trend that would destroy, let's just call it basic scriptural morality.
Okay.
There are religions in addition to Christianity who abide by scriptural morality. Okay, so the objective of this agenda was to destroy basic morality, and it went under the label sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Okay.
That was adopted into that generation. They had kids. That generation didn't really know what to do with it. But we're now into the third generation of it, and it's very apparent that it worked.
Yep, I agree.
The fundamental basic, what am I trying to say? Work ethic. The fundamental basic work ethic has been destroyed. Now, that is the platform into which we find the last, three or four, presidencies, last 15, 20 years. Okay. It is the destruction of the basic moral fabric of this country that produced the bench bar cooperative effort to use law as a weapon. And Trump is not the only one. He's just the highlight one. It's going on all over the country. We see it also through we call them the Soros prosecutors.
Yep.
The people who were financed by George Soros into the office of prosecutor to do what? To turn prosecution into a weapon. It's no longer a matter of let's keep the lid on the county. Let's keep the lid on the state. It's no longer that. It is, there's the political enemy. Find something on them and put them in jail.
Yep.
It is the civilized version of the Banana Republic approach where they just go kill their opposition. They don't worry about jail. They just go shoot them. Well, they're not going to do that here. They've got to be a little more sophisticated.
Although they've been shooting them lately, too. They shot an InfoWars reporter on Monday evening.
Yeah, we're seeing that, and there's the momentum. That's why I'm saying this is the platform in which we come into this lawfare thing. It's the moral fabric is gone. Everything is fundamentally me, 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 and it's been accentuated with the cell phone where people sit down to eat and do nothing but cell phone. There's no interaction. The interaction is the electronic interaction with the box. The TV, we used to call that the idiot box. There may be something similar for the cell phone.
Yeah.
But the entire social interaction in this country's changed. And it's just part and parcel of the change in the moral climate that we've seen pre-programmed. It's just, we've been inundated with, forget scripture, go do what you want to do. You are your own God. You set your own standards. There's nothing wrong. Everything you want to do is just fine. Who says so? We do. We're your God. we give you permission to set your own moral code.
All right. Well, that leads to a question, but unfortunately it leads to the break, too. We'll be right back and pick it up there.
Just like yesterday, then I'll get on my knees.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and a special treat today. It's been a while. Got a good friend and force behind Legal Reality, Harmon Taylor, with us. And when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about, well, the breakdown. I like Harmon's term, anti-scriptural morality. I've said for a long time, if you read Leviticus, for example, and you find things that are antithetical to the Creator, he says they're abominations, they carry a curse, maybe even a death penalty. They'll be taught in the public schools, subsidized, and ultimately mandated. We've seen all of that. But when we got to the bottom of the hour, he said he thinks that morality is coming back. It looks like it's coming from the top down. And he was fixing to describe it when the music came up. So it went real fast. Harmon, if you can, pick it up right where you were with that description.
Yeah, the analogy that I use for the moral, the picture I have of the moral climate is the one I use for the judicial process all the time. There's this, just picture a 50-foot wheel. It's 25 feet wide, and it's got a hole in it big enough to put the rope through for you have, 10,000 slaves pulling it. It moves, and it's moving. It's not going to stop. It can be redirected. You're going to stop it. You're going to have to pull everybody to the other side of it and pull backwards on it. That slows it down. But what I'm intending to describe here, whether we think about it as inertia or momentum, they're not the same, but the same kind of concept.
Yeah, angular
We're
momentum.
We're headed in a certain... Yeah, angular momentum with the wheel. We've got that, too. We're on a roll in morality. It's been destroyed. Somebody's gone to a lot of effort to do that because you can't... Where's any nation's strength? Why does it work? Because they understand Scripture. Where's any nation's strength? The nation's strength comes in their obedience to God, period. That's where we measure the nation's strength. A weak nation is a nation that's in rebellion against God. So how do you destroy America? Destroy the moral fabric. It's worked. They've done a brilliant job of, give credit where credit's due. Now, it's not just the White House. It's not just the White House. I think there's several things have activated the thinking matter in the mind. We had Ruby Ridge. We had Waco. We had the Murrah Building bombing. We had S-11. Okay, COVID got a lot of people's attention. Hey, we're being lied to here, and we're being killed.
Yep.
That really got onto a lot of people, and so... Because of that issue, because of the life or death issue, we find a lot of people, it's commercial related, but in a foxhole that they never thought they'd ever be in. We got people all over this country in the foxhole now saying, yeah, they're really trying to kill us. They really are. What are we going to do about it? Well, let's turn this to God. Let's turn our minds and our hearts to God and see if He can give us some hints. Well, of course he does.
Yep.
He says, here's right and here's wrong. Do your absolute best to get back to right. It's not going to happen overnight. This is the point about the gigantic wheel that is the judicial process. It's always moving. It's always moving in a particular direction. It doesn't change easily. The moral momentum in this country is not going to change easily.
Okay.
But it is changing.
I agree, and I think it's great. One of the things that I think has been most productive, in other words, was the very fact that Trump managed to beat the system and get elected in spite of the rigging that we all knew was happening. You know, it was a massive groundswell. It was a massive mandate, as people will say. I really think it took at least an 80% avalanche in order to put him in the Oval Office, or they'd have stolen it again. So one of the things, and this was on my list, and I guess that's a great segue to it, is there have been all of these executive orders that Trump has signed. Again, they are they're Article 2 powers for the most part. They have to do with these federal agencies, which whether they should exist or not, they do. And so he is exercising right. authority over them. And now we've got incredible numbers of activist judges. There was a piece that I know we both looked at just before the show. It just came out from the Gateway Pundit, but there were others that have been talking about it with Trump's executive orders. Essentially, what he did not long ago was to sign one that said he's going to ignore all of the lower court rulings because, as the Gateway Pundit points out, there have been a staggering 119, and they're increasing by the day. That number's probably already out of date. Legal challenges by activist judges and leftist nutcases just since January the 20th. The intent is to, paralyze the administration and try to prevent it from enacting anything to destroy all their beautiful wickedness. And so far, only two have been resolved. So what he did was he put in place an executive order that said, all right, look, there is a there's a rule of federal rule of civil procedure, Rule 65C, which says if you're going to try to get an injunction, you got to pony up some bucks. If you want to stop something, suppose it's a frivolous lawsuit and you lose, you got to put the money in a bond and deposit it with the court. Well, they're not doing that. And, of course, if they had to, that would slow things down. So essentially what he said was he is going to ignore any orders. Well, they don't do that because, well, the law says he can. So I'm curious what your take is on that and how that's likely to play out and what it means.
He has really good legal counsel. That kind of thing, I just can't help but laugh. Here's the thing. It is so obvious a rule. It is so obvious a rule that they just tried to push something over on him. Here's an order. Yeah, and here's the rules that you need to follow for that to have any effect. And you're not following your own rules. And it just, to personalize this, my entire career, when it comes to dealing with governmental entities, pick a level, has been just follow your own rules. Just follow your own rules. Look, there's no agreement here. And so you don't have any basis for doing what you're doing. Just follow your own rules. Oh, we're not going to follow our rules. Well, you're going to do what we tell you to do. Okay. It's the same thing here. And you can't help but enjoy the fact that the obvious is being pointed out as to one of the problems with their agenda.
Exactly. And I think you're right. It's humorous. I couldn't help but think back to Rules for Radicals. Remember, you know, Hitler's Bible. And how essentially that was what the communists have been saying. Let's force the conservatives to follow their own rules. And so they put this alternative system up that's basically a way of enforcing tyranny. And it's got some rules that were supposedly put in place to prevent the tyranny that they've now established from getting as out of control as it has now gotten. So I like that idea. Just follow your own rules. And, you know, we talk about the double-edged sword and the fact that the rules may be tyrannical and they may have been unconstitutional or they may be a violation of the rule of nature and of nature's God, as the founders put it. But at least we're seeing some of those rules turned against those people who've clearly perverted them for evil. And I agree with you. I can't help but laugh and think there's some joy in that.
Yeah, it's hilarious is what it is.
Well, so what do you think? Is it going to be successful? How do you see this playing out? I know it's going to take some time, but any ideas on what's next and how? I know that when I was looking some of this stuff up, I had some trouble finding. If you do a search, Gulag is going to tell you you'll get articles out of the Guardian from London and all these things saying Trump is an evil man. He's subverting the system. He's trying to do all this stuff. Well, no, he's using the system the way it was supposed to be, and you don't like it because it destroys your beautiful wickedness. But how do you think it's likely to play out, at least short-term and maybe long-term, if we can see that far ahead?
Short term, there's going to be a lot of litigation that DOJ is going to have to engage to get all that straightened out. It used to be a pro-New World Order agenda. DOJ is weaponized, and it's not that right now. And it's going to take a while for the new AG to figure out where all the activity is going on and assign the right people to the cases. They may already be assigned. Trump hit the ground running. I can't imagine that the new AG didn't do the exact same.
Yeah, no, I think
and
that's true. We'll see how she works.
She's got experience from Florida doing this, so she's going to do just fine. But short term, there's going to be a lot of fight. Long term, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You ready?
Okay.
They're going to run out of energy, and they're going to run out of money. And you say, how can they run out of money? They print it. Well, they're going to run out of money.
You're talking about the bad guys at this point that will run out of money?
Yep. That's okay. What's going to happen. They're going to run out of money.
They've
they're
cut
going
it
to run
off.
Out of two things. They're going to run out of money, and they're going to run out of energy. And they say, oh, we're not going to run out of either one. Yeah, they're going to run out of both of them. Now, how can you say that? Well, we don't know yet. I don't know yet. I don't think anybody knows yet what the black swan event is going to be. All I'm sure about right now about the black swan event, and it's very exciting, is that the black swan event is in, I'm just going to predict this, it's within Trump's tenure. I'm hoping it's within the next couple of years.
All right.
This AI thing, it's going to boomerang on them. Their digital money thing that's going to boomerang on them. And it may just be something. So you had mentioned Adam Smith. I thought, yay, we need to teach Adam Smith in the show all of the free market concepts. The concept that I'm saying here is there is the likelihood. I don't think it's just possible. I think it's likely that there's going to be a reemergence of we really need not to be quite so electronically exposed. There are going to be some people that don't like all of that. They're going to say, yeah, I think I can live without a cell phone. And that's going to hit the marketplace. There are going to be more and more and more people saying, yeah, I really don't need that.
They'll be accused of being Luddites. You can expect that, I'm sure.
They take whatever criticism they want. They say, yeah, I'm sick of being tracked everywhere I go. I'm not cattle. Okay, well, I've had that attitude for 20 years. I don't have one. 25 years. I don't have one. I'm not. We pasture cattle here. I know what the cattle tags are for. We use them. I don't feel like having an electronic cattle tag. Thank you.
Yep, that's great.
And life is different. Life is different. But life is fully livable without the electronic cattle tag. And I think there's just going to be a trend toward, yeah, I just don't need to be spied on. By AI. I just don't need it. And people are going to just change their commercial behavior. And the market's going to have to keep up.
All right.
And the market will keep up. And pretty soon what these people are depending on, which is literally voluntary bondage, they literally expect people to continue to just walk into the cattle pen and be penned in. People are not going to, the COVID did it. The ultimate disaster that woke, and God did it. God said, okay, now you have sight to see at least part of the problem. It's COVID, the death jab.
Yeah.
And people don't trust anything about government. And so as they figure out, they can live without this and they can live without that. And yes, life is a little different, but praise be to God, I'm not being tracked everywhere anymore. It's going to show up in the marketplace, and because it's going to show up in the marketplace, it's going to affect the Soros finance, New World Order financed agenda. I don't care how much money they got.
Okay.
They're going to run out because the market's going to change.
Well,
just watch.
Yeah, I love that. Let's explore that just a minute, because as you're talking, once again, it's like an avalanche of things that are coming to mind. But since on another one of the fronts that Trump has exposed here, he's got his big, beautiful tariffs, and they have been quite effective, it seems, in terms of getting Mexico to toe the line and Canada to at least pretend to toe the line. There was a big announcement about the EU, and it's the EU few that I find most interesting. And, of course, there, too, you have all this confluence of factors, NATO, and will we get out of NATO? Will we get out of the UN? Will we finally say the hell with all this Big Brother international crap, and we don't want anything to do with that, and with who? Again, all of this overlaps. But I saw a story within the last 24 hours that I think is kind of fascinating. It has to do with the tariffs. And it has to do with, and this is kind of unconfirmed, but we certainly see it reflecting in a lot of different indicators. For example, gold and silver, the paper stuff, but the underlying real stuff is there. They're trying to sell futures, of course, to keep a lid on it. And that looks like it's breaking down. We've talked about that, you and I, many times. But here's the factoid that struck me as kind of interesting. Evidently, there have been trillions, and that's trillions with a T, of not just gold, that's what started it, but later investment bucks and other things that have fled from the EU. And it looks like the EU may be the first to implode. I'm seeing stories out of Germany. Germany's got some real problems. Deutsche Bank, we've talked about that in the past. Some real problems there. But essentially, it all seems to kind of go together. And I heard an interesting analysis of somebody saying, look, what Trump is really doing here, and if so, here's more forward and dimensional chess, is trying to build Fortress America. And I like that term. I've heard it before. But in this case, I hadn't heard it used to describe what's going on. And essentially what he's saying is, look, we want to bring businesses back to the Americas, particularly to, the United States. We're going to put some tariffs in place and encourage folks. Well, Apple's already come back. Other businesses, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, they've announced major plants. Honda's going to build cars in Indiana, I believe the latest announcement was. So there have been effects on that front. But if, in fact, the tariffs really result in a Fortress America, in other words, if what he's really doing, and let me cut to the chase, is to say, look, Europe is going to slit its own throat. They have gone too far. They're over the top. They're building their new world order. They got their control grid in society. Spain, for example, has announced another move to get rid of all transactions above 1,000 euros. So they're trying to build their cashless society and their control grid and their mark of the beast. And it looks like, I hope this is true, what he's saying is, we're not going to be there. We're going to build Fortress America. We're going to basically say you can keep your fake bucks, and we may even audit the Fed. Who knows? So many things on that front that I can't help but think, yeah, that's cause for optimism too. I'm not sure how much of that you have an opinion on, but it certainly fits with what you were describing.
It's fascinating that these things coalesce in the time factor in which they do. What you're seeing in the European Union area, I'm going to attribute, and I haven't kept up with it. I shouldn't get too far into this because I haven't kept up with it. But at the end of the day, what I think we're seeing over there is a result of Brexit.
It's a continuation. Yeah, I agree.
And so it's just the continuation of Brexit with a huge additional factor. And of course, we're talking about not just politics here. We're talking about actual currency. What has happened? And we will just not hear. We have to go overseas, maybe even learn some other languages to get stories about it that where people are talking about. We're not hearing it over here because it hits the New World Order banking regime in the head. What has happened with the BRICS nations is they've just said no more. It is the economic secession of the use of the dollar, the boycott. This is my term. It is the greatest boycott of the U.S. dollar the world's ever known. And that is having its impact. Do you remember Exxon and the Valdez oil spill in Alaska?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Exxon has several shells. At the end of the day, I am 100% satisfied. No one will ever convince me otherwise that America said we're not buying Exxon oil anymore. It was just a political response seen in the marketplace. It was an effective boycott, and I think we put them out of business. And that's why the concept of boycott is so poo-pooed, because it works. What the BRICS nations have done is boycott the U.S. dollar. Has hit the marketplace globally.
Yep.
You're just not going to hear anything about it because it's so devastating to the New World Order.
Well, and you, that's a fabulous point. And certainly, we have the SWIFT system that's a big part of that. And then you have the alternative to the SWIFT system. And, you know, it was Russia and China and some of these other nations, as you mentioned, the BRICS themselves, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They've got many more, literally dozens upon dozens that have wanted to join them at this point. And then, of course, on the Brexit front, you have other nations that have properly said, we don't want these globalists. You got Hungary with Orban and Italy with Meloni that are essentially, they have not instituted their own Brexit forms yet, but they're getting awful close and they may do it. But, ironically, this is another one of those double-edged swords that we keep talking about where Trump has said, look, you know, if they completely get rid of the dollar, well, that tanks us. So we need some kind of a transition. And I've heard all kinds of speculation and I'm always cautious on that front. You know, will we get a return to the dollar based on gold as opposed to based on, nothing and printed with no limits? The question is, you know, is there any gold in Fort Knox? Has it been rehypothecated to where it's been sold a dozen times? We don't know the answer to that. I don't know that Trump knows, but it looks like he intends to find out. So there's a lot of stuff like this. We're just going to have to watch and see how it plays out. But at least I can't help but think, if nothing else, there's an adult in the room again. That's probably good news, although for the rest of us, until we know how it's going to play out, we got to take our own precautions and make sure we aren't trapped in a dollar that is, one way or the other, I don't think there's any way that Trump can avoid the inevitable, as von Mises and Hayek and others put it, the inevitable meltdown of a fiat system. It will happen. The question is just how devastating will it be?
Well, we can manage it if we realize that's coming, and if we realize, picture the backyard above ground swimming pool. Okay, what Brexit did was pop a hole in that. And what we have got to do, because we see that that system has now officially and formally, praise be to God, been clobbered, we just need to do everything we can, especially if we provide goods and services, to allow clients, customers, patients, and patrons to pay the bills in honest weights and measures and just get that out there more.
Amen.
Just circulate it.
Well, we've certainly talked about that as long as you and I have been doing these shows on Come Out of Her. And, of course, we've known each other since before that. And we talked with mutual friend, the late Randy Yarborough, again on that score. The whole idea, of course, is honest weights and measures. I like the biblical term, which is kesef. It means silver, but it's the same Hebrew word that means money. And it's throughout Scripture. And anything else is called an abomination. And it's real, real clear. So we have a system based on abomination, says Scripture. And there has never been one survive before. This one won't either. So again, we know what it means, what we need to do. We mentioned this just briefly before we came on air, but we are lately seeing a huge run up in gold. I think I saw that it was up 11%. The paper gold, even, it's been controlled, but it's breaking down. But it's up 11% since the 1st of January this year. Likewise, silver. Gold is pushing $3,000 to the fiat ounce. Silver is now above 33. And as we've always talked about here, and I guess we'll close with something along these lines, it's going to come unglued when the dollar collapses. The price of gold and silver, who knows what it'll be, who cares in dollars, but what matters is ounces. And do we have an alternative? Can we come out of her and have some way of making trades and dealing with one another as good people who walk in obedience to our Creator without reliance on something that He's going to punish? Go ahead.
Well, you've hit it, and what I'm saying is it may be a rough ride in here. It may get bumpy, so just fasten the seat belt into the seat, clinch it in tight like you're in an airplane, and go along with the ride. Do everything possible. It will buffer the transition if we'll just go ahead and start doing what we should never have gotten away from doing in the first place, and start talking troy ounces, whether it's silver, gold. People want to talk carats if it's a great big transaction. Okay. Something, anything other than the U.S. dollar. If we can buffer the transition, if we'll just go ahead and start doing what we're going to have to do eventually anyway, if we'll do it now, then it'll be a lot smoother transition.
Amen.
A lot smoother. Just do it.
Yeah, and the time draws short in a lot of respects. We've certainly seen that even since the last time we talked and probably closed with similar advice, it's in fiat dollar terms, it's up a lot. Well, hey, Harmon, that takes us, unfortunately, to the end of the show. We got about 15 seconds until we get to the music. But once again, it's great to talk with you. I'm sorry it's been so long. We'll have to do it again soon. And thanks a lot for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for the show. You do a great job. I appreciate the call.
All right. Well, I appreciate the chance to talk and your insight as always. Meanwhile, we're coming up on the end. So thanks for joining us. Shabbat Shalom. And may Yahuwah bless each and every one of you and yours.